cut down and I'm lifted up. I feel love when I'm in harvest. What assembly?
Welcome to Harvest Word Assembly.
And it is that the Lord conceals a matter. The Lord conceals a matter. The Lord conceals a thing. The Lord, he covers. The Lord hides a thing. The Lord shrouds a thing. And when the Lord shrouds a thing, it becomes a mystery. In fact, Scripture tells us, Proverbs 25, it tells us that it is the glory of God to cover a matter. So the Lord covers a matter. The Lord shrouds. It's a nature with God. He hides things. He keeps things. And when the Lord keeps things, it's because those things are precious. It's because those things are of great value. It's because those things are of great price. Scripture says, it's the glory of God to conceal. Then it is the honor of the king to search out the matter. The king comes into honor as he searches out what God has kept. It is as he interfaces with it that honor is bestowed upon the king. We're in the season of covenant establishment. And the things that God has kept for us this year will warrant that we know how to navigate to come to where it is. We must know how to journey to where the provisions that the Lord has preserved for us. We must know how to come to the things that God has preserved for us, that the things that the Lord has kept for us. The Lord, Moses was a child that was born. The Lord hid him at birth. You see, Moses was born. The Lord took him and he hid him. And when the Lord hid him, sent him to the house of the man that issued the edict for his death. The Lord took him and went to hide him in that person's house. And they were nursing Moses. And they were nursing Moses. Yet it was God's system of hiding him. The man that said, go and kill every child that is of this age. Within this range, go and kill. The Lord took that same child. Took him to the house of Pharaoh. And they kept him. So much so that they nurtured him in the house of Pharaoh. The Bible says he was even called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He even bore Pharaoh's name. The man that sent them to kill him, he bore his son's name. And the first phase, the first 40 years of his life, he was in the man's house. And he would call him Papa or he would call him Grandpa. Yet Pharaoh wanted to kill him. Pharaoh had issued the word for his destruction. But the mandate upon Moses was that he would be kept there. So when all the arsenal was flying around for that one boy, he took him into... Have you seen where they are looking for a thief before? Have you watched those movies? You're looking for a thief, a criminal, and he walks into the precinct of the police station, and you're welcoming him. Sir, good morning. How can we help you? That's what the Lord did with Moses. Before the eyes of everybody, the Lord preserved him, and he kept him there. The Lord preserved Jesus. The Lord took Jesus into Egypt and he brought him back again and he kept him. It's the nature, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter. The Lord chooses, takes pleasure in concealing things, in keeping things, in hiding things. And because of that nature of God, It is easy to feel something is lost. It's easy to make a mistake with God. You see, what led to the fall of Lucifer? What will make a being that God created? Why will he want to launch an affront against God? Because he had not seen a terrible side of God. The Lord hides even his natures in the heavenlies. Even his very nature in the heavenlies. You see, there are beings. It's not every being that knows. Jesus said, the one that has seen the Father is the Son. It's just one. So his nature was even so kept that the one that they called the bright and the morning star, he felt that it was his brightness and his own brightness corrupted him. By virtue of that brightness, He one that thought he was transformer. He didn't know he was merely a conductor. He didn't know he was just conducting the glory of God. But he thought he was Kaingidam. So when he faced the Ancient of Days, they cast him out. It's because there is a nature in God that even God himself, he keeps himself. He shrouds himself. He covers himself. He preserves. There are things about God that it is not every angel that sees. That's how you see some beings, they worship God. You will see some other beings, they have eyes. The four beasts, they have eyes and they declare holy, holy. Their declaration is because of what they are seeing in God. It is as they see something erupts from God, they respond, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So the Lord is a keeper. He keeps the one that keeps Israel, neither sleeps nor slumbers. The Lord is a keeper. That's how he designed things. That's how he preserves things. He keeps. Every time a revelation goes forth, every time a prophetic word goes forth, the implication is that it was kept secret from somewhere. Every time there is a word, a revealed word of God, implication, my sister, is what? It was previously kept. It indicates that something was kept away and it has been brought into the limelight. Why are we starting this way? Because we must understand that there are things that the Lord has kept for us this year. And our accessing them will be on the premise of covenant establishment. Our word this morning will be giving voice to the covenant. Because we must know how to align with the speakings of heaven. We must know how to align with the declarations of heaven. There was a time scripture says he spoke upon the earth. Now he will speak and he will shake the heavens. But we must give voice to the position of heaven concerning certain matters. So covenant establishment for us will not just be something you are saying. No, you are aligning with a position of heaven. So your speakings are an alignment with heaven. This is God's position on this matter. Even though it appears unclear, even though it appears hidden, it appears locked away, I am sure that this is the position of heaven. Say, the Lord keeps. And when the Lord keeps, it's for our glory. Praise the Lord. When the Lord keeps, it is for what? It is for our glory. He said, had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. He said, this wisdom we speak in a mystery. Yet the wisdom we speak is not the wisdom of this world. So it means there is a wisdom of this world. Then there is a wisdom that is not of this world. The wisdom that is not of this world is the wisdom that was at work in the mystery of redemption. And that wisdom was so hidden that the princes that have known the systems of this world from ages to ages, they have known the ways of men. When this one Christ came upon the earth, they did not know. So what they did was to become catalysts to our own redemption. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are we together this morning? Are we together this morning? So the Lord keeps. The Lord doesn't keep away from us. He keeps for us. He keeps what? For us. So that you will know that there is provision, there is a resource, there is a largesse in God. There is a reservoir in God. It is preserved where corruption cannot reach. We will not stay too long today. Let's look at Matthew. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 19. We see again that the Lord kept Jesus. Matthew 2 and verse. Let's read from verse 19. I'd like us to read together. 19. Are we there? Let's read together. One, two, go. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the life of the young child." Okay. And he arose and he took the young child and his mother and came into where? The land of Israel. Okay. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea, in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go hither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, "He shall be called a Nazarene." We see again in this scripture that the Lord, having preserved his son in Egypt, he now brought him into Israel. And when he brought him into Israel, the Bible says he came and he dwelt. The father took the child and he dwelt in a land, in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which the prophet had spoken concerning the child, and he shall be called a Nazarene. So the next phase of the keeping of Jesus after Egypt was Nazareth. There was a program of God to keep him in Nazareth. And by prophecy, the child would be called a Nazarene, so he must stay in Nazareth. The child at birth had borne the name of Joseph, his earthly custodian. And he would bear the name of the Christ, which will fulfill his redemptive work. But between when he would bear the name of Joseph and when he would bear the Christ, he must be called a Nazarene. That was the next phase the Lord hid him. Are you with me? You are going through a certain phase of your life. But you know that this is what the Lord says concerning your life. It is because the stage you are now is where the Lord is keeping you. It's where the Lord is preserving you. The Lord never raises, God never raises any man he has not hidden. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, he will not raise you if he has not hidden you away. It was that principle that the light bearer did not see. That even though you conduct light, you must first shroud it under the glory, under the Shekinah of God. So the child must first be called, he must be called a Nazarene. If he will bear the Christ, he must bear the Nazarene. We will come to where they rejected him as a Nazarene. Because he stood before Nathanael. And Nathanael began to question, "Shall any good thing come out of Nazareth?" We will come there. So Nazareth was the place where God had prepared resources for you. Nazareth is the place where God has kept resources. Nazareth is the place where God has made provision, where God has invested his purposes. You said there is nothing about location. Auntie, your location determines the allocation of heaven towards you. They say, "Come to church." You say, "I will watch it online." When you know you can help it. When you know you can help it. You say, "Auntie, come for prayer meeting." "I'm Mama Femi. I'll follow you in spirit. I'll be with you in spirit." People that always follow you in spirit, there's no spirit near that thing. There's no spirit. When they are praying, if you see people that are praying, especially night vigil, the people that shake their head a lot, they've gone to Nazareth, they've come back. When you see them shaking, but you can't blame them. If you've done some vigils, you know when you are sleeping, you only know you came back to your body. It's called an out-of-body experience. I went to... We've done it together. That's Nazareth. It's a place where God hides resources. It's a place where provision is made. Allocation is made, but it is hidden beneath the earth. It is as gold that must be tried by fire. It is on that ground, it is in that Nazareth that the Lord prepares process for him. So even Jesus had to stay in Nazareth. He had to understand the goings of Nazareth and walk in the topography and that terrain for 30 solid years. It was Nazareth that the work was done. Your location matters. Placement is vital in the things of the Spirit. Placement, where God has placed you. Every time God places you in a place, The angels of the Lord will come. Shola, where are you? The voice of the Lord will come in that cool of the garden. Shola, where are you? It's a question of placement. The Lord will come to where he put you. He will come to where he kept you. He will come to where he placed you. Because the resources will not come from another place. They will come from where he put you. So the Lord will walk in the cool of the... He will walk in the garden and he will come to that very spot where he left you last. Don't joke with placement. Don't joke with location. Don't joke with where the Lord places you. Don't joke. Don't joke with it. When you have a pastor over your life, don't joke with it. Don't. You know, Mama, late last year, I was doing one vigil. I prayed all through the night. You know, prayed. And I said, okay, let me catch a nap. I didn't tell pastor. I just pray. You know, as I just dozed off, Pastor Gwinga just came into my head. Say, John 14:12. So in that experience, I began to try to open my Bible. I saw that I wasn't opening. It now occurred to me that the reading of that Bible is not in that experience. Come to your normal. So I woke up, I read it, then fell asleep. Then I remember, something happened. It was then I now went to that script. You see, having a covering is not a Sunday thing. Elisha said, did my spirit not go? Did it not journey with you? That's what it means to have it. It's something that you are not there. It's not everything you I didn't bother telling you. It's not everything. But that covering journeys with you. Was my spirit not with you? So placement is important in this time. If you will be established, it's the man that is standing in the house of our God that will be planted in the court of our God. Placement, that's how things are established. You are not established when you are blown about by every wind of doctrine. This is the raving madness. We flow with it. This is the raving. No, establishment doesn't come like that. That's not how it comes. So Nazareth is the place where the Lord establishes us. It is the place where the Lord keeps us. It's the place where the Lord has invested resources for our sake. Nazareth. He shall be called in. It was when he obtained the training of that terrain that they now began to officially recognize him, even in the heavens, as Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth. So Nazareth is a place of heaven's resources. It's a place where resources of heaven are hidden. And they are kept for us. That is Nazareth. And when the Lord began to prepare to leave Nazareth, he began to call on disciples. And he will call Philip. And he will call, you know, he began to call people. And he began to call. And one time Philip went to call Nathanael. And when he went to call Nathanael, and he said, we have found him. May you find what God has put for you. May you find what God has kept for you. May you find what God has hidden away for your own glory. He said, we have found him whom the law, Moses in the law spoke about, and whom the prophets spoke about. And what is he? He's called Jesus of Nazareth. You know, there are some people, they don't have a problem. We found him. The law wrote about him. We agree. Abi? Moses wrote about, we agree. The prophets prophesied, we agree. He's the son of Joseph. We agreed. And he's the son of Nazareth. Nazareth. Ansoro Banana Island. Ansoro Bariga. We are talking of Maryland. Ansoro Ijegun. The law, we don't have a problem because we know that the law was a picture of the government of the kingdom of heaven. But the law was weakened through the flesh, so he could not bring the government of heaven upon the earth. We don't have a problem. We also don't have a problem with the prophets. The prophesied until John. We don't have a problem. But Nazareth. You want to go now? Yusuf, check him. Look at Nazareth. Nazareth. The problem was this. Because God hid the nature of... In fact, when you go and read that particular prophecy, it shall be called the Nazarene. You won't see any direct reference of the prophet to Nazareth, because Nazareth was a town that evolved later on. So it was a prophecy, but it was hidden. It was a prophecy, but it was sealed. It was only the anointed one that will come and begin to walk out that prophecy. But because it was hidden, they felt no. Every other thing may be right, but this Nazareth cannot be it. And interestingly, he must be called a Nazarene. He must be called a Nazarene. So they said, Nazareth. He now began to give voice. You see, what Nathanael was saying was not only his own position on the matter. I hope you know. What he was saying was not his own position. Because eventually when Jesus saw him, Jesus said, hey, a true Israelite in whom there is no guile. Toban Soro, own voice, or all, you know, Israel. He speaks on behalf of Israel. That's how the line of Nathanael is. He said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? It's a horrible experience to pass around the perimeter of your blessing and never experience it. It's a terrible thing. He said, can anything good, in the design of Nazareth, that place they call Nazareth, in the design of that suburb, we have not known it to produce good. In the design, in the history of that place, we have not known it to produce anything we call good. Yet in the agenda of heaven, in the scribes of heaven, it shall be called a Nazarene. So while we say nothing good can come, heaven's position concerning the matter, you must learn to give voice to heaven's position concerning your life. You must learn to give voice. You must learn to align with the covenant. So because it was hidden, because it was locked away, there was a conclusion. Don't follow the conclusion that men write concerning you. Don't accept it. He shall be called the Nazarene. Just say, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Have you seen people like that? You want to go for a position in your office, and they say, this is your state. Have you been in that position before? This is your state. I wanted to go for admission one time in Ibadan Poly. It's not in our catchment, in the fulfilling of the agenda of heaven. Nazareth doesn't fall within our catchment area. I wanted to go for admission in Badopoli. They looked at me. Local government. Ikene. You know, and the man said, local government. I will not want in here. No. I'm like, I will that we all celebrate. It should be a plus for me. He said, I will, no. So I had to go and ask my father, what did Awolowo do to Ibadopoli? They now started talking about free education. He began to download the history. Now, when they gave them free education, I think those ones were not interested or something. There's nothing as terrible as you being rejected on your ethnicity. There's nothing. You know, but the beautiful thing is, when men reject, God can validate you. It's more powerful when men have rejected and the validation of heaven comes upon it. We'll go on to pray in a bit. Because the voice of covenant must come forth from our Nazareth. We must correct the ill speakings that men have spoken. We must reject the speakings that were not pioneered from heaven. We must rearrange the atmosphere over our Nazareth, so that even though God, you know, God can ordain so much for a man and little will come out of it. So little will come out of it. And all Jesus said was, oh, Nathanael, behold, a true Israelite in whom there is... It means he was not telling a lie. It's just that Jesus, in his own experience of Nazareth, he journeyed into the ways of heaven to discover what was kept for him. So there had to be something else he was not seeing. There had to be something he was not seeing. So they said good cannot come out of it. And when, in the book of Acts chapter 10, the Lord began to speak to the Gentile church, or he wanted to inaugurate the Gentile church, and Peter went to preach a message, Peter made that very powerful statement, how God anointed Jesus, that Nazareth, the validation of heaven was all that mattered. Jesus of Nazareth, who went about the good that they said doesn't come out of that place. The good that they said could not. You see, Nazareth is such a place spiritually that is shutting. Good comes there but cannot thrive. But when the hand of the Lord, we were singing that song, I can never be stranded. When the hand of the Lord rests upon a man, can anything good, you will not only do good, when you do good by the anointing, they will say it's fluke. But he now went about replicating the works of it. So there was no denial to it. Who went about doing good, and healing all of them that were oppressed? Do you know that as powerful as Jesus did, when he went back to that same Nazareth, he could not heal many people. Because Nazareth had received, don't receive a narration that is not from heaven concerning your life. Don't receive these. We speak words of covenant establishment so that every other narration will be a lie, but God's word will be true over you. So that every other speaking can be, it is by the voice of covenant that you can challenge voices. When you enter into a territory, I hope you know that there are voices that want to steer the ways of men. They want to steer them in a particular direction. When you are in a territory, you must know how to interface with the voice of covenant. There are voices that want to steer. Ephesians 2. And you had it quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. When you walked according to the course, there are voices that fashion the course for the lives of men. And the way you will counter them is by the word, by the voice of covenant. Raise your hands toward heaven. This is my year of covenant establishment. It's not just a confession. It is something that travels back into your roots and begins to make arrangements. It begins to arrange. You must understand the technology of confession, the technology of prophecy, the technology of covenant. This is what covenant does. Covenant is this. Come, stand up. Covenant is, I have an agreement with you. I have an agreement with this man. I will be with you. I will bless you. And 10,000 years later, or thousands of years later, you are no more on the scene. Because a spirit made a covenant with you, he will uphold the words of that covenant and go to generations unborn. And he will begin to relate with them as though he did with you. That's how spirits operate. That's how covenants operate. So the word is as potent now as it was then. The agreement is valid. Then God will now come to Abraham, or he will come to David. He will say, because of the promise I made to your fathers. He can come and say, if my covenant with David can be broken, then you can annul my covenant with day and night. Please have your seat, sir. The voice, give voice. To the covenant. Give voice to it. So when you say this is my year of covenant, understand, know what you are saying. Know what you are anchoring your words onto. Because shakings will now begin later in the year. That's why covenant establishment has gone ahead of the year. That's why the Lord will establish us early, so that when the shaking starts and you begin to move and everything is unstable, you will be walking on the water by the word. You will not be sinking by the storm, but you will be able to journey by those words. Master, if it is you, bid me come. And he began to take the first step upon water. We will say he sank, but until he shall try it. Eh? If me, I try it once. If I just take the first step, do that, jump on the boat. Mama, offering will come. Offering will come. I will even remind you, did you see that I worked on? I will play the video. Pause it. It will be, you know that software, it will be replaying. You will be replaying, you will just see me like that. The man that walked on water, only God knows his one step, but he shall walked. He shall walked. But truly, this is our year of covenant establishment. We must engage the year by the voice of covenant. You must engage the year so that whether you stand in Nazareth, interface with the territories, with the four corners of that territory, by that word. Make interface. So when they say nothing good comes out, you say, me, I will come out good. Then I will go about doing good. And finally, my own finally is once. Pastor David, my own finally is once. Pastor trained us well. My own finally. Let me look well to be sure before I go. Semi-final. But truly, we must learn to recognize when voices challenge our Nazareth experiences. And we must learn to align with the word of God. We must learn to give voice to the covenant. Let's rise up as we begin to pray. Let's rise up. And let's tell the Lord, Lord, your investments over my life will not come to a waste. Lord, your investments.